Good morning from CBS News election headquarters, Bill Lynch with the World News Roundup. With a dismally small national turnout of 35%, Americans threw out very few rascals in election 90. The off-year vote left the Democrats with one new Senate seat and a handful more in the House. The biggest stories were in the governor's races, where Democrats increased their majority. One of the nastiest races was in President Bush's adopted home state of Texas, where Democrat Ann Richards won big. James Hattori reports.
She was outspent and way behind just a few weeks ago, but Ann Richards' populist campaign triumphed over that of her conservative millionaire opponent.
They want a governor that gets up and goes to work every morning.
A large block of undecided voters decided this race. It was a dead heat yesterday morning, making it a long, tense night for Republican Clayton Williams. Williams concedes his gaffes, including an insensitive remark about rape, hurt his chances.
Maybe I'm a little too open, maybe straightforward.
Richards, only the second woman to govern Texas, says she will lead her supporters hand in hand to the Capitol on Inauguration Day. James Hattori, CBS News, Austin.
Democrats also captured GOP-held statehouses in Rhode Island, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Kansas, and Florida, where former Senator Lawton Childs ousted incumbent Bob Martinez with his populist theme.
Just remember what we said. If you get the people with you, it doesn't matter about the money. This time, the people win.
Republicans picked up Democratic-held governor seats in Massachusetts, where voters rejected the tough-talking John Silver, and in Ohio and Vermont, where Richard Snelling regained his old job. In Connecticut, former Senator Lowell Weicker was elected governor as an independent.
Aside from the fact we're going to put the state back on its feet, I hope we've sent a message that dirt is out of politics. And
some of the tightest races were in the West, as David Dow reports.
The race for governor of California was so tight that Republican Pete Wilson could only speculate about winning as he faced followers at midnight.
As the evening wears on, I am confident going to be able to post a victory.
The first projection of a Wilson victory over Democrat Dianne Feinstein came more than 2 hours later. Another Western woman, Oregon Democrat Barbara Roberts, did succeed in her quest for the state house, while the state's senior senator, Republican Mark Hatfield, won re-election narrowly over Harold Lonsdale. Other Western winners, independent Wally Hickel as Alaska governor, and Democrats John Wa'ai and Dan Akaka as governor and senator of Hawaii. A big loser, California's Big Green, the sweeping environmental initiative. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
One of the big Senate stories was the surprise ouster of Minnesota's moderate Republican Rudy Boschwitz by liberal college professor Paul Wellstone. Wellstone spent about $1.30 for every vote he got to win. Boschwitz spent some $25 for every vote he got to lose. The other big Senate story was Jesse Helms' victory in North Carolina over black Democrat Harvey Gantt. Gantt fell short of the 40% of the white vote he needed to win. The narrow victory did nothing to dampen Helms' conservative combativeness.
The mighty ultra-liberal establishment, the liberal politicians and editors and commentators and columnists have struck out again.
Harvey Gantt sounded like he might try again.
I'm going to continue to hold out hope that one day we'll reach that point in time where we move together as communities.
Democratic Party leaders might be rethinking this morning the presidential prospects of New Jersey Senator Bill Bradley after his squeaker win over Republican Christine Todd Whitman. The ex-basketball star was sobered by the close call.
It's been a few years since I was in a double overtime.
In the House, several incumbents were voted out. Overall, the Democrats gained about half a dozen House seats. In Colorado, voters approved a 12-year limit on congressional terms, but the courts may reverse that. In California, both term limitation initiatives lost, as did a nickel-a-drink tax on beer, wine, and spirits. In Alaska, voters recriminalized marijuana possession, although that too may wind up in the courts as a constitutional privacy issue. And Democrats made strong gains in state legislative races to strengthen their hand in redistricting. I'm Bill Lynch at CBS News Election Headquarters. The World News Roundup continues now with Mike Moss.
On the morning after a big election, there's always more to tell. The governor's races in Arizona, Michigan, and Minnesota remain too close to call. In Minnesota, Republican Arne Carlson is leading incumbent Democrat Rudy Perpich by about 35,000 votes. In Arizona, Republican Fife Symington leads Democrat Terry Goddard by fewer than 4,000 votes. And in Michigan, Republican John Engler has claimed victory over Democratic Governor James Blanchard, whose staff is considering asking for a recount. In Nebraska, incumbent Republican Governor Kay Orr was narrowly defeated by Democrat Ben Nelson. A huge fire has done extensive damage to one of the nation's leading tourist attractions. Ron Allen has a report.
Acres of Hollywood's historic Universal Studios smoldered through the night after a huge windswept wildfire roared through a production lot for several hours. Sets from movies such as Dick Tracy and Back to the Future destroyed. Tourist attractions such as King Kong at the famed amusement park also apparently suffered heavy damage. Evacuees from nearby theaters and restaurants watched as flames were fanned by 50-mile-per-hour winds.
We just saw flames. We thought it was maybe Miami Vice or something like that. So we got closer and closer, and it's like getting warmer and warmer. It was just huge.
An investigation is underway. Damage estimates are in the millions of dollars. Universal is one of the busiest movie studios in the world, and this morning its future is very uncertain. Ron Allen, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Drug czar William Bennett may resign this week. Sources say Bennett is concerned about threats to his personal security and believes he's been putting in a working federal anti-drug program. The Washington Post reports the drug czar spent most of the last 2 months campaigning for Republican candidates instead of managing the day-to-day battles of the war on drugs. Japan's government has dropped its proposal to send 2,000 troops to the Persian Gulf in a non-combat role. A government spokesman insists the move was not a payback for the Iraqi release of 77 Japanese hostages, 74 of whom left Baghdad today. The Iraqi news agency says Saddam Hussein has ordered the release of some Americans, it doesn't say how many, among 100 Germans and 20 other hostages. Gunfire rang out in Moscow's Red Square today, a marcher in the Revolution Day parade firing two shots into the air, less than 200 yards from where President Gorbachev and other Soviet leaders were standing. No one was reported hurt. The man was reported arrested. The U.S. Embassy in Manila says all American fighter planes will be removed from the Philippines next year, along with more than 1,800 U.S. military personnel. Diplomat Richard Armitage is in Manila for more talks on the future of U.S. bases in the Philippines. Iran's been hit by another strong earthquake, measuring up to 7.0 on the Richter scale. Two villages in southern Iran are reported destroyed and about 10 others damaged, leaving more than 10,000 people homeless. At least 50 people are reported killed. Coast Guard officials in Hawaii say the 730-foot tanker Star of Connecticut has run aground on a reef 10 miles west of Honolulu. The Texaco tanker is carrying nearly 10 million gallons of oil. Coast Guard says there's no indication any of the oil has spilled. The dollar was down in Europe, up in Japan. Gold was higher, and stocks are lower. The Dow Industrials are down 4.5. It's 10 past the hour.